So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning. Jaguars Today, brought to you by Metro Rooter. Somebody sent me a funny GIF, GIF. What is it, Tony? It's one of those.
I think they're both technically
little
okay.
Video yeah. Dealy of somebody tripping and falling into their own garbage can. It was it's so juvenile, but it made me laugh. And, you know, that may be the story of my life. It was so juvenile, it made him laugh. That may be on my tombstone one day. Good morning, everybody. We're that much closer to a trip up to Pittsburgh for your Jacksonville Jaguars for the second time this year. And, you know, look, we know that the Jags are the only franchise that has ever gone up there twice and won in the same season two different times in Pittsburgh. I doubt that matters a whole lot to this team. If the losing of the last several years doesn't matter to this team, certainly the success of 10 years ago I don't think is going to have any impact on this weekend's game.
Probably not. Does the success of Week 5 have impact? Everyone's
that may be a different
so.
Story,
yeah.
Right? I mean, look, I do think, Tony, there is something to having the confidence of knowing. You can believe, hey, we can go anywhere and beat anybody, but when you do it, and you do it as convincingly as they did the first time around, I think it's got to help you prepare going into this. And I got to believe the defense is thinking, you know what, we're not going to allow anything. They're not getting. We're going to shock the world. We held Pittsburgh under 10 last time. Maybe we'll hold them under 7 this time. That's their mentality. I'm not
sure.
Saying it's going to happen when you've got Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger and the guys that they have up there. But if any team can make Pittsburgh uncomfortable defensively, I think if any team can make anybody uncomfortable defensively right now, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars with what they've got on that side of the football.
Yeah, and we've talked about it obviously a lot already all week, but hopefully Pittsburgh comes in thinking they can pound their chest and go straight at them. I pray that's their game plan, that they want to go challenge this secondary, especially these corners. And look, I get it. If I had Antonio Brown, it would be really hard for me to go into a game where that's not going to be part of my game plan too. Right, but I think it's maybe the difference between playing a team like Pittsburgh and playing New England for the past 20 years. It's the idea of even when New England has an Antonio Brown, if they came into a game like this against this defense and that kind of matchup, they'd say, we'll do what we got to do. Like, the win is more important than the ego of the guy on the outside.
Sure.
And I hope that the ego is bigger for Pittsburgh than it would be for a team like New England that we've seen do it a different way for a long time.
I saw some suggestion that they could use Antonio Brown if he's not fully healthy as some kind of a decoy to draw the attention of the defense. Guess what? You're only drawing the attention of one guy.
I was about to say, they're not triple covering Antonio
Brown. Number 20 will be the guy whose attention will be focused on number 84. And that tells you something, that I know both of their numbers because I'm not very much of a uniform number guy. But you got to believe one of those two on any given series, Boye or Ramsey is the guy matching up singly. Now, if he gets off to a good start, maybe you're going to get safety help over the top and things like that. But I think they're going to start out, and if you've got what you feel is the best cornerback pair in the league, they've got the best receiver in the league. I think everybody acknowledges that right now. Let's see the matchup, man. Let's see it go.
No doubt.
That's why you're paying big money to those two guys. That's why you drafted Ramsey top 5 and why you paid all that money to A.J. Boye, and it's paid off in spades so far this season. If you'd like to get in today, today we're going to talk about something. I know the guys on the drill were kicking around a little bit this morning. Kicking around may be an appropriate euphemism because you feel like Blake Bortles gets kicked around a lot. Not, look, by the national media, I get it. The media picks on certain guys, right? And we do it here. We all do it. We find players and we single them out, whether they have, you know, it could be a quarterback with bad mechanics. Mark Sanchez will never live down the butt fumble.
No.
Right? Never in history, no matter what else he does. And that was a guy that won 4 road playoff games in his first 2 years in the league, went to the AFC championship game twice in his first couple of seasons. Even that didn't make him immune to being remembered for something completely terrible, right? So just because Blake Bortles has had one winning season, I don't expect everyone in the league to heap praise on him. But the media is one thing, Tony. Rarely do you see players single out a player on another team as frequently as Blake Bortles has been singled out for criticism this year, Blake's trash, he's this, he's that, they're, you know, they win despite him, he's a clown, he's this, he's all, anything anybody wants to say about this team generally starts with Blake Bortles and how they think he is not a competent NFL quarterback. He's not the only guy in the National Football League who has his ups and downs. And look, I know all Blake's flaws. We all do. We watch him. We've seen every snap that he's taken, just like all of you have out there. But there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that are bad. Jared Goff last year, you didn't hear guys around the league just ripping Jared Goff.
Didn't win a game.
Right. You heard media members rip Jared Goff and people saying that the Rams screwed up taking him number one overall, all these different things. Maybe not with the new coaching staff coming in and revitalizing his career. But you don't usually hear players take such glee or take such obvious shots. Now, I kind of get the Titans doing it because it does seem like that rivalry
the fire's been restoked,
right?
Yeah, it's on.
In a sense, Tony, now, clearly, I'd be fine with the Titans losing this week. But if they win and the Jags win, please, that'd be the ideal scenario. AFC Championship game here in Jacksonville. I think as much as those 99 guys, I'm sure, disliked the Tennessee Titans, I feel like there's more just public animosity between the two franchises, the players themselves, than we've had in a long, long time, right? Some of the comments we heard from Jaguar players after losing that game, totally disrespecting the Titans and vice versa.
Oh, it would be a fun, edgy week if both of those franchises were to win this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. And by the way, for the players out there that are giving Blake a hard time, even fans that are giving Blake a hard time, I just pulled up total QBR for the 2017 season, which is ESPN stat. It's not perfect. No stat is perfect when trying to judge a quarterback. Did the team win or lose, I guess, is the closest to that. But even that, it's a team effort, whether you win or lose. But Blake wound up 12th in the league in QBR this year. 12th. All right, if you want to know some of the names that wound up behind him on that list this season, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, and then the rest of the list, you can probably have a pretty good idea of who those guys are. But those aren't guys that are getting bashed nearly the way.
Now, some
Blake
of them,
does.
I get it. Look, you got a guy like Joe Flacco. He's won a bunch of playoff games, right? And he's won a Super Bowl. And so there are certain guys that have accomplished more than Blake Bortles. Tyrod Taylor hasn't accomplished more than Blake Bortles, and I get it. He doesn't turn it over. But I guarantee you we could find examples of quarterbacks that have not had a lot of success, that have kept their job for several seasons, and you just don't hear a peep about them. People know that they're not great, and we're not trying to sit here and tell you that Blake is great, that he's arrived at as some upper echelon quarterback, that he's above reproach or above
criticism. It's more of
criticism.
Why is he the bullseye for
from
a lot of this
players
when these other guys aren't?
Right.
Why is it Blake that draws all the darts?
Now, is there a trash-talking element to it? Because there very well could be. Now, whether it's from Blake himself, who admitted that he's been known to make a witty remark or two at the appropriate time. And you don't get that from a lot of quarterbacks, although, you know, Philip Rivers seems to be a guy who gets the red ass from time to time, and who knows what he's saying.
I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers has
years.
A thing or two to say, but that's Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and those guys, and I get it. Those we're not trying to say Blake's on their level, but maybe is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as a team? You know, it's like, Tony, they talk about people with old money and new money, right? You can win the Powerball, and the people with old money are still never going to accept you, right? The people that have come from the people whose family came over on the Mayflower, you know, the Plymouth Rock people, you know, their old money and their money is somehow better because it's inherited rather than
that difference
than found.
Between getting rich and being rich that rich people see.
Okay, being rich is old money, right? And getting rich is like, oh, looky what we got here.
Right.
Is that the case that the Jags are the new money and? Because they are so brash. I mean, I don't know if there's another team that talks more than them. It has not been made evident this season, right? They talk and then they go on TV and they eat it up on NFL Network now because they got so many guys and they're not afraid to say anything. They'll tell you exactly what they think. They think they're the best and they wear that as a badge of honor. On the defensive side is mainly what I'm talking about here. They may be right, right? I mean, they may be the best in the National Football League, so they're just expressing how they truly feel. But I get the trash talk can rub you the wrong way sometimes, but is Blake getting the trickle-down effect? Because you can't go around saying Jalen Ramsey's trash because then you just look like you're off your rocker, right? I mean, is it that? It may be that. You know, some people, when I posted this question this morning, it's the question of the day brought to you by First Coast Roofing, first couple of responses were, well, he's not very good. Yeah, guess what? There are a lot of quarterbacks who are not very good, and you don't hear their peers. That's the thing. You don't hear their peers delighting, go out of their way to say, yeah, they may win, but he's still trash. Doesn't matter what he does, he's trash. It's been a collection of players this year, and I don't think there's another player in the National Football League that's close to the public criticism that Blake has received.
No, if there's another quarterback that we just haven't paid attention to being talked about the way that Blake was after specifically the Seattle and Houston games, right? I mean,
after he played incredibly well.
Right. The opponents after those two games where he played really, really, really well, a couple of different guys in different locker rooms were asked about Blake Bortles, and one of them called him trash. That's what Blake is dealing with. I haven't noticed any other quarterback dealing with it. It's a weird dynamic, and we're asking today, why do you think it's Blake and not anybody else?
So we'll get into that today, and if you've got some theories on that, you're welcome to share them with us. If you just want to talk Jag football, getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're welcome to do that. If you're worried about the offense, who isn't worried about the offense, right? I mean, come on. They didn't do a whole lot offensively. I think Doug Marrone's probably worried about the offense. Worried might not be the word he chooses to use, but he recognized this week that, yeah, we got to get a lot better offensively. So whatever it is, if you want to talk Jaguar football, it's playoff time. Baby, what we're not talking about? We're not talking about the draft. We'll worry about the draft when we join
February,
that other group.
Middle of February,
right? Let's hope that wouldn't that be the best if we could put it off to the middle of February. I don't know how long the Super Bowl hangover lasts, Tony. We may put it off till March if they do what you're alluding to right there. But if you want to get in today, 641-1010 on the phone lines, also the text line driven by Duval Ford. You know us on Twitter at MD_1010XL and 1010XL Fat Tony on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. It's all out there for you. So hit us up. Your thoughts on the Jags today in Rappaport. It's going to stop by in about 45 minutes. We'll ask him, you know, nationally, why does Blake seem to be the whipping boy of all the quarterbacks who don't perform great on a week-to-week basis? And he's had his moments this year, and arguably the best season of his career, certainly the most efficient season of his career by some measures, and he's getting more criticism now than he has ever before. Is that because maybe the Jags are the new bully on the block and people don't know how to deal with it? It could be. So give us your thoughts on that. And we'll also check in with Dr. Stephen Lucy, get a little midweek injury report from him, get the first practice injury report of the week as well, see who is being held out for the Jags later on today. We'll get to all that and a lot more coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank along with Tyler Devitt at 1010XL World Headquarters. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Why Blake? Why is Blake such the lightning rod? There are a lot of bad quarterbacks, right? And I'm not even saying Blake's always a bad quarterback. At times he's a bad quarterback. He has been, right? At times he's been an excellent quarterback. He's certainly a playoff-winning quarterback this week, despite his poor passing numbers, but because of his great running numbers, right? So, you know, he is who they have, and there have been other I mean, look at Tyrod Taylor. What did Tyrod Taylor do this week, Tony? Who played better, Blake or Tyrod? I don't know. I mean, Tyrod had an interception. Blake didn't. Blake got a touchdown. Tyrod didn't.
Yeah.
Tyrod doesn't get that kind of criticism around the league. Maybe he doesn't run his mouth. Maybe his teammates don't run their mouths. I'm not quite sure. I do think that cockiness, that arrogance has something to do with it. We'll find out what you think at 641-1010 here momentarily. Here's Kevin Byard of the Tennessee Titans, young defensive back. Good player, by the way. Was talking to Jim Wyatt and was talking about the level of competition he's facing in the playoffs, and he, guess what, brought it back around to Blake Bortles.
These guys are your peers, but you probably grew up watching Brady and watching some of these guys. What's going to be like to face them in such a big setting?
Well, I mean, it's a playoff game, so it's not like it's a preseason where I go out there and be like, oh, it's Brady and I'm chilling.
Yeah.
It's a playoff game, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it was Joe Montana, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go out there and win the game, and I want to make him look like Blake Bortles if I can, try to catch a couple picks, so...
Yeah, just a little gratuitous toss in right there. Going to make him look like Blake Bortles if I can. Just like that's the standard for, you know, bad quarterback play. We're making him look like Blake Bortles, right? Not, I don't know, Nathan Peterman, right? And I get it. Nathan Peterman hasn't, and I'm not trying to pick on a local kid here, but, you know, a guy who had a 5-interception first half this year in his first start
and
in the National
Football
League.
And he's thrown a pick in once in every 8 attempts.
Right. And granted, he's a rookie and all that, and there are a lot of extenuating circumstances, but Blake has become the standard bearer for bad quarterback play. Blake's, if you look at just the raw numbers, been better than a lot of quarterbacks that have been starting games in the last few years. Not as good as a lot of quarterbacks as well, by the way. Again, nobody's trying to put him in any kind of elite category here. One quick comment before we go to the phones from the Facebook page. Dedrick Baker says they do this because they know this kind of stuff gets under his skin. I don't think it does at all. I haven't seen that, and I know a lot of guys can talk tough and say, hey, you know what, that doesn't bother me, and maybe it does. I haven't seen any indication that it does bother Blake. Honestly, I told Tony, my comparison that popped into my head was, I know this will sound crazy, he's Eminem in 8 Mile, right? When he tells Papa Doc, you know what, I am white trash. I did grow up in a trailer. I do live with my mom. I did get jumped by your whole crew. So what? Tell me something I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Tell these people something that they don't know about me. It's the same old tired thing. Big deal. Call me trash. What do I care?
When has Blake not stepped to a podium after he's had a bad game, and when asked about a bad game, he says, yeah, I sucked. Like, he's always been the guy that's been willing to do
that.
He
has rolled in it, Tony.
Right.
He's owned it to the point.
You want him to stop doing it, but it's never been something that it looks like if you say that about him, he goes, oh, no.
Never been
crumbles.
A finger pointer.
Right.
Never been an excuse maker. I'm not saying, again, I can't say more clearly because I know there's some people saying, oh, they're just trying to go kid gloves on Blake. We have criticized Blake plenty over the years that he has been here in Jacksonville. And when he deserves it, we've also pointed out, hey, you know what? He happens to be on a red-hot streak right now. He's playing some great football when that was appropriate earlier this season. One thing we've never questioned is his toughness.
Nope.
And being a gamer and all that stuff, I don't know if that gets under people's skin. I don't know what it is. So let's go to the phones and find out what you think about it at 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in. We're going to start with Aaron on the north side first this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. I think what it is that, you know, Blake's season last year, you know, his overall resume, you know what I mean, minus that 2015 season, everybody expects him to be trash. And now that he's doing better, you know, I think they still want him to be what they say he is, so they don't want to, like, go back and correct themselves. Like, I still think Blaine Gabbert is trash, and he did a pretty decent job against us in the Arizona game. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, Blaine's played better as, you know, his career's gone on. Not great, but he's had his moments. And so,
right.
But you consider him trash, but you're a fan, and you're a fan who had a bad experience with him on your own team. You know what? You don't hear many players, even when Blaine was not very good playing in Jacksonville, you didn't hear many guys around the league saying, oh, man, using Blaine as the example, look, I want to make Tom Brady look like he's Blaine Gabbert. You don't hear guys call each other out by name like that. It's almost like it's become accepted that you can disrespect Blake Bortles by name, and he's almost in a different category, almost like there's a little club like everybody knows. And that's what makes me think, Tony, there is an aspect of the whole attitude, the swagger that this team has that maybe, I don't know, do other teams feel it's unearned because it's only been here for a year, this kind of success? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's something in that realm.
Yeah, you could feel, you know, talking about Blaine Gabbert specifically, you could feel players in this locker room, you know, that wanted to say something like, I can't believe we lost to Blaine Gabbert, but they didn't say the name, right? It was like, we shouldn't have lost to this team.
Right.
It was talking about it that way as opposed to Blaine Gabbert sucks. I can't believe we lost. Like, it's not that. It's not we lost to that team and then Blaine Gabbert is trash. We shouldn't have lost. Like, it's not that, which is what these guys are doing with this guy and not other guys in the league. We're just, why?
Look, every week that they advance, and I hope they continue to advance and advance and advance, it makes it that much sweeter. And that much more frustrating. I hope
call
you do.
Whatever you
I
want.
Hope you do think I suck, especially if I beat you. What does that make you? Right? I mean,
right.
If you lost to me, what does that make you? Aaron, thank you. Let's go to Leon on the west side and see what he thinks about it. What's up, Leon? How are you?
I'm all right, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Good.
What's on your mind?
It's the trash talk around the league. All right, Jaguars have been, I guess you could say, the bad boys of the bunch since we had Jack Del Rio. Now, you can say all you want to about Bortles, but the young man took three different offensive coordinators in the last 5 years and has produced the winning season this year. You see what happens when he has consistency in his coaching. He went from bad to good. He may make mistakes, but a little more coaching with the same process and the same people around him, he'll do better. Steve Young didn't start off great. Joe Montana started off great. Warren Moon didn't start off great. None of them started off great. But they had people around them that helped them become great. Tom Brady, same coach for the last, 20 years? Great quarterback. If we all, as a city, get behind Blake, ain't nothing he can't do.
All right, well, I appreciate that. I don't agree with everything you said there about some of those comparisons. Warren Moon was an established star coming from the Canadian Football League when he got to the National Football League. I remember Steve Young wasn't the full MVP Steve Young initially, but I don't think he struggled for years as a starting quarterback like Blake Bortles did.
And I think there are some things that stick and it's hard to shake them. You know, and that may be what Blake is dealing with now.
That they have a perception of him as being really bad.
Like, did the conversation really ever stop about Peyton Manning being a choke artist in the playoffs? Did that ever really ever stop in his career and he won two Super Bowls? I mean, that was just something that happened early in his career and it sticks. Every time he lost a playoff game, it's like, of course
that's
he
fair
did.
Point.
He's a choker. Like some things just stick. And it feels like that may be what's going on with Blake. He was, like, last year, it was awful. We all lived through, I mean, it was awful. The way he was throwing the ball, the big pick sixes, some of them coming in big moments, a lot of them coming in first halves of games that gave him no chance in 2016 to be successful at all. Part of that is sticking to him a little bit, and I think there is that idea of a lot of people have to at least admit the fact that they might have been wrong.
Do you remember players as much talking about Peyton Manning as the choke artist? There probably were some. But
I don't remember players.
I think
talking
it was more
much.
Like media, right? Like former players and analysts and guys like that saying that he couldn't get it done, and a lot of that was in direct comparison to Tom Brady. All right, you won this, but how many have you let get away? I mean, John Osher talked about how many games Peyton lost, how many playoff games to start his career, including times he had the number one seed. So there was definitely that element, but it wasn't like Peyton sucked. It was like Peyton couldn't handle the pressure in this moment. This is like gleefully trying to take Blake and reduce him to nothing.
Right. He's beating you 45-7 and you're saying he's trash.
Right.
Like some of it's like, it's nonsense. That's a nonsense thing to say.
And so there's to me, it's more than just about the raw numbers or him struggling. And it's not even like about what Leon's saying about Blake can improve with it. I don't think it has anything to do with how he's playing. I think it goes beyond that. It's like a personal thing.
Yeah. It would have been Brian Urlacher after the Colts beat them in the Super Bowl saying, well, Peyton can't win the big one. It's like, he just did
beat
it.
You.
Right. Like, it's that kind of thing.
He did it by dumping it down to Joe Adai.
Right. It's like,
all day.
What? He just beat you.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. When he just beat you, it doesn't make sense.
All right. Let's go back to the lines. I think we got Henry on a different topic here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I was at the playoff game and day one season ticket holder, but they had this, you know, as you're aware of, they have the electronic ticketing, they send it to your app. And, you know, I think that created a bottleneck. You know, a few more thousand people, but a normal 2-second transaction where they scan your paper ticket, people in front of me fumbling for their cell phones, making the scanner thing bigger so they could scan it. 30 seconds. You add that up by thousands, that's quite a lot. And there has to be a paper ticket option. What about if I wasn't around, my wife, no way she could download an app, get the tickets. You know, she's not that savvy.
Did you ask if they had a paper ticket option?
On the website, there was no paper ticket options given.
I'm not trying to argue. I'm really not, because I'm trying to help you here. Did you call the ticketing office and ask them, you know, and explain your situation, like you felt like you'd be better served with a hard copy for whatever reason?
No, I didn't, because I could handle it. But I'm just thinking,
the
bottleneck that causes in a 2-second transaction, now we're dealing with some people 30 seconds to get their ticket scanned. And I saw the scalpers had paper tickets. The app offers no option to print out the tickets. And there's nothing on the website with the app or with the tickets that I got. You gave me an option to print it next time. I will call, but there was nothing
I'll tell you the reason I'm saying this. My wife doesn't have a smartphone, and I went to the ticket. I'm a season ticket holder myself, and I said, hey, look, I'm not going to give my wife my phone. I need my phone. That's work day for me. And so she wants to go to the game. She doesn't have a smartphone. How does she get in? And they printed me paper tickets. So,
I
don't think they did it, you know, and I just went to a person in the ticketing office and asked them and, you know, didn't try to make a big, do you know who I am deal or anything like, I'm not trying to say that. I just think it was, you know, because I thought the same thing, like not every person, despite the fact it's 2018 now, not every person has a smartphone. So what do you do if you're in that circumstance? There has to be a way for you to get your tickets. So there was that option. Obviously they're trying to do it electronically because it's an easier method of transfer. They don't have to have hands on with 65,000 tickets and create, you know, and mail those out and make sure they get to the right people and then deal with people who didn't get their tickets or whatever. I think they're trying to do it the most efficient way possible, get the tickets in people's hands immediately, is my guess anyway. I haven't, you know, interviewed the ticketing office about this, Tone, but as you pointed out earlier, probably there was, and it seems to be the case here, being indicated a little bit by Henry, that there were probably people fumbling for their phone because they weren't ready. Like with your ticket, it's easy to have your ticket in your hand, boom, sure, hand it to them to scan. And maybe if you're not used to it, maybe they didn't all have their phone out or to the right page or whatever, you know, so, you know, people could probably help the process along a little bit as well. And I would say, as with anything, as with arriving to the stadium on a playoff game, plan to leave early or get in, or you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to pick on you, Henry, at all. I think this is a legitimate thing to bring up. I'm just trying to offer things that might make the process easier. For instance, if the Jags are fortunate enough to host an AFC championship game or host a playoff game next year, you know, to keep in mind that, you know, if you've got
and
that
they might have learned some lessons on their end, too, about how to do this.
Maybe they did, you know, make it a little bit more efficient. But I don't think it's – I think that's probably – I don't know if it's the standard practice around the league. It wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, we are in 2018. Everything is – digitized and
sure,
downloaded and all this stuff. So I don't know. I mean, hopefully you got in to see the entire game and it, you know, the frustration of waiting extra time in line won't keep you from attending future games. So, you know,
hopefully not. I will say, you know, I'm down here for the pregame. And so I usually leave here right around the national anthem is when I'm walking back around outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm going by a couple of the gates. When I'm going back over to the press box for home games, and usually when I'm walking around, there are thousands of people still waiting to get into the stadium, you know, for a regular home game. This past Sunday when I left here, ghost town outside. Everybody was here.
Everyone was in.
Everybody was in. When I came back down, I have to come down with, you know, 5-6 minutes left in the game to make sure I'm down for the end of the game and
sure,
the start of the post game. Usually there's, you know, a couple thousand people milling around on the ramps and all that stuff. Sunday, ghost town. I mean, people got here early and they stayed late. Obviously, you should. It's a playoff game. It's a different feel and atmosphere than anything
else.
You
know, chances are, even if the Jags win this weekend, the likelihood is they don't have another home game this year. But if they do, that's one thing I would say, you know, plan for a little extra inconvenience when there's more interest. There's, you know, it's just going to take longer to get to the stadium, to park, to leave the stadium, and obviously to get through the ticket lines as well. So, again, hope you had a great time once you got in. I would imagine you did as a Jaguar supporter, no matter what the score, as long as the Jags are on top as they were this past weekend. Thank you for the call, Henry, and we're happy to take those kind of calls. You know, again, 633-2000 for the ticket office. I'm not trying to, you know, put anybody in a bad spot here. They'll work with you, I'm sure. If you're, you know, you have a concern, this wasn't his particular concern, but if you, you know, for other people out there, I'm sure not everybody, it's like we assume everybody has cable TV. Not everybody has cable TV, right? They don't. And not everybody has a smartphone and not, and my son, despite wanting one, does not have one yet either. He did want one badly for Christmas, but he handled it like a champ when I told him, nope, not going to do that. Not going down that road quite yet. Maybe I'm the bad dad. I don't know what to tell you. All right, we'll come back, and we've got this date in football. We got the drive around the NFL. Ian Rappaport at the top of the hour. We'll get more of your thoughts in. Love to hear your thoughts on social media. Why is Blake such an acceptable lightning rod for public criticism by his peers in the National Football League? Other players don't typically call other players out by name unless they have a personal rivalry or animosity with them. They feel like they're a dirty player and they've done something to a teammate, something like this. This is just Blake playing football, and even before games, getting singled, before and after games, getting singled out in ways that rarely happen in the National Football League. We'll continue to discuss. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now,
This date in football history.
All right, this date in football is brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. On this date, January 10th, we go back to Chile, 1982. The San Diego Chargers, remember we told you last week, had come off that victory against the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Some consider it the greatest game they've ever seen. I would probably put myself in that category among NFL games in my lifetime. The overtime victory over the Dolphins, Kellen Winslow getting helped off the field, all that good stuff. So they dragged their exhausted butts to Cincinnati, where at kickoff, Tony, it was -9 degrees, wind chill of -59 degrees, the coldest game in NFL history, at least at that point in time. I still believe that holds up. 27-7, the Bengals routed them. They would go on to lose the Super Bowl, of course, to the San Francisco 49ers.
Like, trying to envision what that would be.
-59. And you're Air Coryell, right? I mean, that's the team that they had. Just light it up all over the field, balls in the air everywhere.
Was the football literally, like, cracking?
I don't know. Right? I remember watching that game and being so disappointed because I was, like, that's the team, even though I was a Jets fan, that was the team that everybody in the backyard wanted to play as, right? We all wanted to be Chuck Muncy or Kellen Winslow or somebody like that at that time. And so it was a fun team. It was, like, my other team that I kind of rooted for. The Air Coryell Chargers came to a bitter cold ending on this date in 1982. 1996, Jimmy Johnson announced as the new coach of the Miami Dolphins. He would last until he got pasted 62-7 by the Jacksonville Jaguars 4 years later. Famous birthdays for this date. Dion Figures spent a couple of years with the Jags in 1990. NFL cornerback, started his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's 48 years old today. Likewise, Travis Davis, also a defensive back safety for the Jags in the 1990s. Had one season, I think it was 97, he started all 16 games. Was with the Jags from 95 through 98. Travis Davis is 45 years young today. Jake DeLome made it to the Super Bowl with the Panthers, helped him get there following the 2003 season, and who knows how he would be looked at today if the Panthers were able to hang on and win that game. But Vinatieri kicked the game-winning field goal. It was tied at 29, so it wasn't a come-from-behind necessarily at that moment. But 32-29, the Patriots knocked them off in the Super Bowl. And who's the best strong safety in the game today?
Chancellor?
I think it's Landon Collins.
Collins, that's who he's
I
up
think.
There, yeah.
I think he's the emerging guy. And it's a shame. I'm not saying that just because, you know, there was one report that Chancellor may never be able to play football again last week. Landon Collins has made a couple of Pro Bowls. He's only 24 years old on this date. He's already been a first-team All-Pro as well. And he's not, as we know, a big fan of Eli Apple. There you go. This date in football brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. If your home's foundation is letting you down, don't let it. Call the engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida, your full-service foundation repair company that can give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They'll work with your insurance company if necessary, and financing is available. Fully licensed and insured, call 287-2690. That's 287-2690, or visit foundationprosfl.com. That was this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Oakland Raiders introduced John Gruden as their next head coach at a press conference yesterday. Here's owner Mark Davis introducing Gruden for his second stint as the head man in Oakland.
Raider Nation, this is a big effing deal. Please welcome the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, Mr. John Gruden.
There is John Gruden being introduced WWE superstar.
Don't you think Mark Davis was looking for a stronger reaction than the
right?
He said big effing deal.
They're playing the Undertaker bells.
He thought they were going to go, woo!
Yeah, not so much. The Kansas City Chiefs have promoted running backs coach Eric Bieniemy to the position of offensive coordinator to replace Matt Nagy, who has been hired as the head coach in Chicago. Seattle expected to part ways with offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel, who's been leading the Seahawks offense for the last 7 years, during which they had a top-10 scoring offense for four of those, made the Super Bowl twice, including a Super Bowl 48 victory in February of 2014 over the Denver Broncos. The Green Bay Packers parted ways with defensive coordinator Dom Capers, who joined the team in 2009. Apparently, they really want a former head coach in that spot. as they are set to hire former Cleveland Browns coach Mike Pettine as their next defensive coordinator. The L.A. Chargers are bringing back both Gus Bradley and Ken Whisenhunt as their defensive and offensive coordinators, respectively. And both Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were held out of practice yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons, but as of now, there's no concern about their availability for Saturday's divisional round matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, so if I were to ask you what is Chris Berman's greatest contribution to the culture, all right, is it the nickname Eric Sleeping with Bieniemy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it back, back, back? Is it rumbling, bumbling, stumbling? Or D, I'm with leather? And if you don't get that one, that's what Google's for.
I'll go, I mean, my favorite is Eric Sleeping with Bieniemy.
That's probably the best nickname he ever bestowed.
It's the best nickname, I mean... Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
That's probably, I'm with you on that one, right?
If you still watch an NFL highlight show, at some point someone's going to say it.
And when he was doing Home Run Derby, you know, enough with the back, back, back.
Back, 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 back.
Ah, warning track.
God!
No, that kid out in center field dropped it. One of those 15 kids out in center field. How do you get to be one of those kids out in center field during Home Run Derby, by the way?
I don't know.
Sons of the players,
right?
Something
like
that,
like little league kids from.
I don't know.
Area.
Sometimes they're in uniform out there. Maybe it is. I do not know. All right.
Bleacher Report has ranked the Chris Berman phrases, and the top ranked number one entry here, guys, from Bleacher Report: Scott supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
So they're ranking phrases or nicknames?
Nicknames by Chris Berman.
Okay, but so it doesn't include like back, back, back.
No,
that was like his catchphrase forever, and rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. That's not a bad one. And Bert Be Home Bly Levin was good.
Mike,
too.
You're in good hands with Allstott.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Berman was.
Let's not pretend he wasn't culturally significant for a good long period of time, and then it just like got to be like, yeah, we've heard that one, you know. And then I don't know.
Well, we didn't need the highlight show anymore.
That's true.
I really think that's what happened. We didn't need it anymore.
That's a good point.
You could watch all the games all the time. We got Red Zone. We know what happened. We saw the highlights. We were watching it when it happened. Right. Prime time was a phenomenon because you didn't see anything but whatever game was on in your market.
It was an expansion of Howard Cosell's Monday Night Highlight package,
right,
which you got for like 2 or 3 minutes at halftime of Monday Night Football, and you saw stuff you never saw before because your local newscast was not giving you what happened with Jim Zorn and the Seattle Seahawks, for instance. All right, let's get a call or two in, and we'll have Ian Rappaport at the top of the hour, and we'll continue the conversation beyond that. But right now, Tom in St. Augustine wants to weigh in. And the question of the day is why does Blake Bortles, among all the quarterbacks who have their ups and downs in the National Football League, seem to be the one that players are most comfortable calling out by name publicly when you just don't see that very often? Tom, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys, I think part of the reason is the clown in Houston, when he made his comment, it attracted national attention. It was on ESPN. It was a big news story. A lot of these other clowns, nobody knows who in the hell they are, for the most part, unless you follow that team. So they come out and make a comment, hoping it'll get picked up by ESPN and be on national news, and maybe they'll pick up a few more media following. Their social media followers or whatever, but like the guy that made the comment yesterday, who knows who he is? It's not going to be picked up by ESPN, and the kid's not smart enough to know. He just made a comment. I think it's just, you know, one does it, lets everybody jump off the bridge.
Yeah, I don't. But it didn't start with Clowney, though. It started before that. It started with Vontaze Burfict and
Earl Thomas,
right? And to even earlier than that, as a team-wide thing with Michael Bennett. And these are not players that need their profiles raised. Earl Thomas has had a better career than Jadeveon Clowney has. Vontaze Burfict, I would say, has been as impactful as Jadeveon Clowney, and so is Michael Bennett, at least to this point in time. So I don't know. The cool thing, follow the leader. I don't know if I'm buying it. I think there's something that brings it out in other people. That's my opinion. You know, Tom's entitled to his. I just think there's something specific to Blake and or the Jaguars that brings it out of people. And people are saying, you know, he's not very good and they're winning. Well, you know, there are plenty of quarterbacks that, you know, I don't remember this with Trent Dilfer. Maybe we certainly didn't live in a social media age when he was, he was winning. And but they won the same way, Tony. I mean, I know the guys this morning going through some of the stats, some of those Dilfer games from 2000. The Ravens' defense was obscene, and Dilfer was kind of along for the ride. But and the media criticized him. You didn't hear the players, though, ripping Dilfer like, oh, this guy, what a piece of trash. He didn't have that great defense. You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's a specific criticism of Blake, but that's the kind of vein that it's in, I think.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like, it's one thing for talking heads to say something about a guy, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit with Chris Sims and Tony Boselli here a little bit later on in the show. It's one thing for a media guy to say something like that. It's another thing for a fellow competitor to single out these guys. Like, it's just not something you ever see. And I don't know if that's a 2017, you know, Twitter and social media. Like, I don't know if it's a new phenomenon because guys can say more, and maybe they need to say more to feel like their voice is being heard about something like that. I don't know.
Look,
but
I get,
but
like,
it's happening with Blake and nobody else.
Like, Le'Veon Bell went after Joe Mixon because Joe Mixon said something like, hey, I can be I'm just as good as Le'Veon Bell. And then he kind of mimicked some of, like, his first down celebration and things like that. And so Le'Veon Bell came after him personally. It was a personal thing between them. I don't think Blake's going personally at this many guys around the league. He may be having a little fun in the meantime, you know, during the game. If guys are talking trash to him, he may give it back. But some of these instances that we're talking about happened before these teams ever faced off on the field, which makes it a little bit odder to me. Let's get Brandon in St. Augustine before we break here. Good morning, Brandon. How are you? Brandon, you there?
I'm
I guess
here.
We don't have Brandon. Oh, there you go. What's up?
I'm right here, buddy. Oh, man, I thought it was kind of a I thought it started getting really bad after his little baller streak that he had. I realized Earl Thomas said something, but that was after the Arizona game and the horrible Chargers game that happened. And people did start giving him love a little bit. And people are haters, man. So I think it's just like it's that and it's Jacksonville. You know what I mean? We don't have that rich of a history. The Browns are bad, but the Browns have a rich history. You add that with he talks smack on the field. I don't know. Maybe it's his face. I don't know. Maybe I don't know why they don't like him, really.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's honestly, there's something like that, right? Like, you know, some guys just bring that reaction out.
That would be the next level. Like, if the next guy just goes, I hate Blake Bortles' face.
Just look at his face, man. That's not the face of a franchise quarterback. Kidding me? I'll say this about the Browns.
The Browns would live forever.
The Browns do, and Brandon's right, they do have a rich history. I don't think more than 10% of modern players know or give a rip about anything the Browns did in Jim Brown's day.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, so that brings up the argument, then why isn't we want to make Tom Brady look like Deshaun Kaiser? That's what we're saying. Like,
right.
Why is it Blake?
Right.
You know, why is it Blake compared to the
Kaiser's only been
guys?
Here for 1 year, so he doesn't, you know, he hasn't held the job as long as Blake
has. He's 0-15 and threw twice as many interceptions as touchdowns.
Granted, but he is a rookie playing in his first season in a mess of a situation. I understand, you know, I don't know who the perfect comparison is, too, but there are plenty of quarterbacks that are bad, and that's the kind of the point, Tony. Why is it him that always gets singled out or seemingly? I get it somewhat from the Titans guys, because it is the blood rivalry is back on, which honestly, I do think Jaguar fans are going to delight in this over the next few years because I think the players have finally, or they'll never catch up to the fans' animosity towards Tennessee. But for right now, this is as juicy as it's been in a long time. There is actual dislike between these two franchises, and I think it's going to make for spectacular theater going forward. We got to take a timeout. Ian Rappaport's going to join us from NFL Network and NFL.com. We'll ask him about this and some other issues as well going on around the National Football League. We're here at Boselli's Exchange with Chris Sims on the Dan Lebatard Show in defense of one Blake Bortles as well. And continue to take your calls at 641-1010 on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony live at Everbank Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ain't that like a Sunday, man?
You gotta throw the flag!
That's a hard win. Get it on the road, hard win.
Now let's go inside the NFL with NFL insider Ian Rappaport.
Brought to you by Lloyd's Construction and Consulting.
Antenna Men Protective Shields.
All right, let's get into it from NFL Media. Ian Rappaport joining us. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's happening?
Well, playoff football's happening still in Jacksonville, Florida.
A lot of things.
We are never been prouder of a 10-3 victory than we were this weekend, man. And we will take it. They can berate us for ugly offense, which was true. But you know what? There are 24 other teams that would trade places gladly with the Jaguars this week. And we've been talking about an aspect of the season that I'd like to get your opinion on because you've got that national perspective. Look, we understand Blake Bortles is not a perfect quarterback. We understand that many times he's been a bad quarterback. At other times, he's been pretty good, right? So he's been up and down. We understand that. Nobody's saying he's Tom Brady or Drew Brees. But it seems like there are more than the typical amount of active players, his peers, who are willing to call him out, call him trash, call him this, call him that, use him as an example of the worst quarterback play in the league. There are other bad quarterbacks in the NFL. There have been other bad quarterbacks on good teams. What is it about Blake Bortles that you think that either emboldens or draws out this kind of public criticism from his peers in the National Football League?
Well, I think it's a couple things. You know, it seems to be the pick sixes, and there was definitely a time when he was throwing a lot of them. You know, some of it is how many embarrassing plays you have, and I think pick six is probably the most embarrassing. I mean, there are people who think Matt Schaub was a terrible, terrible quarterback because of the year where he threw like five pick sixes. He was not a terrible quarterback. He was better than mediocre at times in his career, and he actually made a lot of money. But people just, they see the pick sixes, they make a decision, and they sort of go from there. For Blake, I mean, he was the poster child of the bad Jaguars team. You know, it's one thing with rebuilding. Everybody likes to rebuild. You want to do it the right way. I think Dave Caldwell did an incredible job of building slow and making sure it lasts. I mean, this defense is going to be in place for the next probably 3 years. But you got to play in it, too. And I think the quarterback becomes the most likely target of bad play, regardless of whether it's his fault or not.
And I don't disagree. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
He's really destined to just be made fun of a lot, similar to how Alex Smith was.
Did you get that with Smith, though? I get it from the media. You know, whatever you consider Alex Smith, game manager, and that's become a big insult and all that stuff. But I guess I don't recall it as much with Matt Schaub from other players in the league. Maybe it's just my memory because we didn't cover Schaub directly. I know plenty in the media, myself included, that year he threw, because he had like a 4 or 5 game streak of throwing pick sixes in those consecutive games. But I just don't remember guys on other teams saying, man, this guy is absolute garbage. You just don't usually hear that kind of talk publicly, at least, at least that I recall as much. Am I wrong?
I need to put the phone down for 1 second. I'm sorry, hold on.
All right. He's got to put the phone down for 1 second, Tony. Maybe he's checking to see if Matt Schaub was getting that criticism back in the day.
I don't know.
I'm thinking that's probably not what's going on right now. So we'll get back to it, or he'll get back to us or not in just a minute here. I'd say this is an awkward situation to be in at the moment. So let's talk amongst ourselves here. I don't recall. Okay, we got Ian Rappaport back. All right, Ian. My point, am I wrong that I'm just not remembering as many active players being as critical publicly of a guy like Matt Schaub as they are this season? Because we could rip off about 8 names of guys who publicly blasted him from other teams this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. It is odd. And I think Blake Bortles seems to be awesome as far as how he handles it. By the way, I apologize for putting the phone down. There's a little bit of breaking news. The Browns just hired Elliott Wolf as their assistant GM. But anyway.
We got that here first, by the way. So now you've got it, Jacksonville. All right.
There you go. But I think what sort of happens is I don't know what Blake Bortles is supposed to say, right? Like, he's very funny. He seems to be a great dude. He's definitely, like, in the, you know, top 10 list of quarterbacks you probably want to have a beer with. But he's never going to crush you. So I think what he does is sort of shrug his shoulders and laugh a little bit. And that has sort of invited people to keep going. And I think for Bortles, he's in a really good position because the expectations are so low. Even though he's played well this year, hasn't been perfect. But like, look, when the Jaguars keep Bortles next year as their quarterback, people are going to laugh. He really is not terrible. He's probably average. And for a team with a great defense and a great run game, average is absolutely fine.
Ian, keeping it here in Jacksonville for another moment, with all the coordinators getting looks, moving around in the NFL right now, the head coaching interviews going on the last couple weeks, why wasn't Todd Wash included in that group?
I have no earthly idea. I think he probably will be next year. You know, one thing about these coaching searches is it takes a while for the name to get ingrained in owner's mind. So it's like, one year you're sort of mentioned a little bit, hey, this guy should be. Next year people are like, oh, well, we should interview this guy, and one team does it. The following year you become a hot candidate. I would expect Todd Wash, you know, who has led one of the nastiest defenses in the NFL for 2 years, to get some looks next year. You know, I mean, it's, and I'm not sure why. I mean, he probably didn't get the credit he deserved with Gus Bradley being there.
Right.
But this year he should get credit. So I would say next year is probably the time when he's going to start getting job interviews. But I want to kind of go back to one just quick Bortles thing. If you guys want to have some fun, go look at Alex Smith's stats compared to Blake Bortles' stats the first, like, 4 years of his career and see who's better.
We'll do that.
Don't do it right now. It's going to be Bortles.
No.
But I'm just telling you.
Let me put the phone down, and I will go do that, and we'll come back. All right. Let's move on to some other stuff here. The ratings across the board, at least what I saw, Ian, down, I would say, significantly from where they were last year in the four wild card games in the comparable time slots on Saturday and Sunday. How much of a concern is this for the National Football League? I know there's been a lot of talk about what's caused it, whether it was the anthem protests or oversaturation of football or whatever it's been. How do you think in the league office this is being looked at?
With some curiosity. I'm not sure anybody knows. You know, we can talk all about how you watch on different devices, and, you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, people are getting the games on their phones now, and, you know, Nielsen hasn't adjusted. I'm sure all that's true. The college football ratings are up. The Alabama-Georgia game killed it. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, if I had to make my guess, I would say it slowly chips away. You know, the president going after the league as hard as he did, the anthem protest, the lack of superstar quarterbacks. I mean, they lost Peyton Manning. They lost Tony Romo in a two-year span. You know, every time Peyton Manning or Romo's Cowboys were on, it was huge, huge must-see TV. So we have a next, you know, Carson Wentz is going to be one of the next one of those, Deshaun Watson, who was injured. You know, you just don't have the quarterbacks who have emerged as nationwide names just yet. And I think that, to me, drives the ratings a little bit.
Is Mike Mularkey finally safe in Tennessee after the wild card win?
Yeah, for now, he absolutely is safe. For now. Yep, for now. I emphasize for now. I think he's going to be the coach in 2018, but it is obvious he is not on great footing there. I think they plan to fire him if he lost the end of the regular season game. I think he planned to they plan to fire him if he lost the playoff game, and then he gave everyone the finger and won both, which is kind of cool to see, honestly, because, you know, he definitely was disrespected a little. He was pretty outspoken in saying it. He wanted the owner to come out and support him, and then the owner finally did, but it took a while. I can't remember a situation like this of sort of open searching while your head coach is leading you to the playoffs, but what are you going to do? It's life, you know?
Absolutely. All right, Ian, as we get ready to wrap up, last weekend we saw two home teams, two road teams win in the wild card round. Division round coming up this week, so you got the top four seeds, plus four teams that have obviously come off a playoff win. Who do you think the most likely road teams are to break through here in week number two of the playoffs?
Oh, man. Most likely road teams. I mean, it's funny because it's, I guess, probably the Jags. Right? Not the Titans. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say the Falcons with no Carson Wentz with Philly.
I would say that, yeah, the Eagles are vulnerable. But I feel like the Falcons are kind of vulnerable, too. To me, I'll say this. I understand why everyone's picking against the Eagles. They're not even the favorite. I am not so... they have a good team besides Carson Wentz. I actually think the Jaguars probably have the best chance of winning. That is my guess. just because they made the Steelers look so bad last time, and literally nothing has changed. They still couldn't block them, you know?
Right. No Ryan Shazier.
No Ryan Shazier, who's so good. And I don't know, man. Like, I think the Jaguars are going to run right at him. It's a fast defense from the Steelers, but it's hard when you run right at someone like the Jaguars are about to do. I think the Jaguars are in really good position. You know, Bortles will have to be better. They'll have to open up the offense a little bit. I mean, try, you know, they basically asked Blake, just don't lose it for us, and he didn't.
Oh, we know. Trust me. Yeah, we know. Yeah.
You know,
that's interesting, though.
I mean, that's to me, last week was ugly, which I don't care. W is a W. But, man, I think the Jaguars got a real shot.
We would love to be the ugliest team to ever win a Super Bowl, man. That would be just fine with us down here in Jacksonville. Right now, we'll just take a divisional round win against the Pittsburgh Steelers for the second time in the last 10 years to be able to get the double dip in Heinz Field. We'll see how it goes. Ian Rappaport, you can check out on Twitter, at Rapsheet, and, of course, on NFL Network and NFL.com with all the latest breaking news from around the National Football League. Ian, have a great week, and hopefully the Jags will advance. We'll be talking again next Wednesday.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
All right, buddy. There he goes. Ian Rappaport, Tony. It had better have been some massive breaking news, and boy, was it ever right there. Hey, I get it. He's got another job that he's got to do. We do as well. We will come back and play some audio of Tony Boselli getting into it with Chris Sims on the Dan Le Batard Show in defense of one Blake Bortles. Also got some comments from Mike Tomlin that he made at his press conference this morning in anticipation of the matchup. I don't think he's pandering there necessarily. I mean, I threw him a lifeline if he wanted to go Atlanta against Philadelphia. I think a lot of people like the Saints, Tone, but I think a lot of people think that the Vikings are a really good team playing at home as well. But he went with the Jags as the most likely road team to pull off the W this weekend. And, I think there are a lot of good reasons to think that that's
no
the
doubt.
Case. We'll find out, fortunately, in just a few days. Coming up, we'll take a time out here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. He's Tony Smith. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
And it's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Got to have those boys come down to my house in the next couple days. Shower head popped right off.
Oh, no.
And not good. I'm not Mr. Fix-It. I could probably do it, Tone, and in another 6 months, we need somebody to come and fix what I fixed. So I will go to Metro Rooter, where I always do, for any size plumbing job, residential plumbing, that's what I'm talking about, but commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. If you have a plumbing issue, Metro Rooter can handle it. Same-day service, weekends included. If you've got an emergency, they'll take care of you like you do. The right people with the right equipment. It seems simple. It's amazing how many companies don't get that formula right. Serving Jacksonville now for 40 years, since 1978. Happy 40th anniversary to Metro Rooter. You can visit them online at metrorooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter. You know, I've tweeted out, you know, when I use my sponsors' services occasionally, I'll tweet out a picture, you know, hey, I'm dandy sandwich for lunch, whatever the case. So I do that anytime Metro Rooter comes down. People are like, that's fake. Oh, it's my house. That's Metro Rooter's van in the driveway. And they're, you want a picture of my toilet? I mean, I don't know what I can do to tell you about it. All right, moving on. Chris Sims has added in for Blake Bortles. And I get it. This doesn't surprise me. Media's like this. Media likes to grab onto something and then, you know, shake it like a rabid dog until it's dead. And Chris Sims earlier this year ranked Blake Bortles 70th in his quarterback rankings in the NFL. 70th. Right? That means he's not good enough to be a first or second teamer on any team in the National Football. He's not even
that's essentially what he's saying.
He's not better than Chad. He ranks Chad Henne ahead of him. He ranks everybody ahead of him. Again, we're not saying he deserves to be compared to the Tom Brady's, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees' of the world. Few do, however. He's certainly not the 70th best. He's way better than the 70th best quarterback. As Ian Rappaport himself said, he thinks he's about an average guy. And when you've got a defense and a running game, you can win with an average quarterback. But apparently Chris Sims, after backing off the criticism somewhat when he went on the hot streak in December, he went back at it again on the Dan Le Batard Show. Tony Boselli got wind of that, texted into Le Batard, so they were glad to have him come on. And counterpoint, so here's Boselli calling in to the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN to rip Chris Sims for his ranking of Blake Bortles.
All right, well, Baselli, let him have it, because you texted me during that segment. Chris Sims has, you know, 69 quarterbacks ahead of Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is one of the final eight quarterbacks remaining this season in the NFL. So, Baselli, let Sims have it. Go ahead. He's here for you.
Well, first of all, listen, I appreciate it. Chris Sims almost died bleeding to death on the football field, which is the only cool factor that he has in his entire life, outside his dad's grape, too. And for him to say that Blake Bortles is the 70th best quarterback is just the most ignorant, asinine statement I've ever heard. And first of all, I see it every day, and I'm here, and Chad Henne is not better than Blake Bortles.
Defend yourself, Sims. Defend yourself.
I would say Caldwell's playing politics by trying to make his third pick of the draft continually be the starting quarterback of the team. And, you know, I have watched him, and it's not
Sims, I have an asinine comment.
I get that. Like, listen, I understand it's something I'm not proud of, but it's the dead truth. It's all there really is to it. I've been watching film for 4.5 years, and you know more about offensive linemen, but I know more about quarterbacks, so sorry.
I think after your stupid comments, I might know more about quarterbacks, because guess what? Dave Caldwell isn't making the decision, idiot. It's Tom Coughlin. He's in charge down here now.
Wow. Well,
so what do you say
he
about
was a
that?
Little stuck.
Take that. You put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That's where it kind of went off the rails for me there. I recall, Tony, 1980, little Dempsey history right here. Sixth grade, right? Towards the end of the season, sixth grade class in elementary school. We were K through six there. We got to play the big softball game versus the faculty, right? And, you know, it's like the spring game, whatever, at George Marks Elementary in DeLand, Florida. And your boy might have hit one over the right fielder's head. I went oppo and hit a three-run bomb. And, you know, there was no fence or anything like that. It just rolled out there. And as I was rounding second base, I distinctly remember telling the faculty to put that in their pipe and smoke it.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, Tony has gone 38 years into the past to pull a catchphrase out that seemed appropriate at the time for a sixth grader. Other than that,
that had probably seen many miles by the time you used it.
Probably did, right? I guess it still holds up to some degree over time. But I think Tony was sputtering at the end there with that one. But I think his defense, I mean, the idea that Dave Caldwell is dictating who plays any position on this football team seems kind of ludicrous to me.
No, it is ludicrous, and the idea of ranking quarterbacks in the NFL and putting Blake Bortles at 70, I mean, it is.
It's a shtick by Chris Sims.
And that's kind of what we're talking about today, though. Why? Why Blake? Like, it's one of those things, like, there's no need, like, putting him at 32 is fine. You know, why does it need to be 70? Like, why do you feel like this guy needs those shots taken at him like that?
Because I get that guys become whipping boys. Like, Blake was a guy that people felt like, no matter how bad the team was, you look at that throwing motion, you look at the results, all the interceptions, the pick sixes, as Ian Rappaport pointed out. I get why the media latch on to certain players. Today was more about, you don't typically hear, no matter how bad, you don't typically hear guys get called out personally by their opponents.
No.
Personally by their opponents. And there are plenty of quarterbacks that are terrible in the National Football League. And maybe some of them don't last in the starting job as long as Blake has. And maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he could have said Blake is the worst starter in the league, and we all would have gone, eh.
Yeah, but then,
can you really even say that anymore? But to say he's not better than any backup in the league.
When is the last time you've thought of Chris Sims before this? When he had a spleen ruptured?
I guess.
I mean, right? I mean, that's why they do it, right? I'm going to make this way over the top statement.
Right.
He's not only the worst in the league, he's the worst of all time in the league whatever.
And based on the way that people talk about Jacksonville, if you really want to get some heat in the Jacksonville market, Chris, if that's where you're at in your career, buddy.
Right.
You got it.
Right. You got the 904 all stirred up now, Chris Sims. Let's hear a little bit from the opposing head coach coming up this week. By the way, we did look. Tyler dug up the comparison that Ian Rappaport was talking about. He took Alex Smith's first 5 years because he didn't start all those games initially. But here's where they were through a fairly comparable period of time. Blake Bortles had 62 games under his belt. Alex Smith had 70 games under his belt at this point in time. Blake had a higher completion percentage by about a point. This is early in his career. Blake had 90 touchdowns to Alex Smith's 68 touchdowns. Blake had 64 picks to Alex Smith's 58, so they're pretty comparable on the picks, and he was significantly better on the passing touchdowns. Yards per attempt, a little bit in Blake's favor there. Rushing, and Alex Smith is known as a mobile quarterback,
yep.
By the way. Alex Smith had 629 rushing yards at that point. Blake has over 1,400 rushing yards. So if you just do the comparison, Ian's right. I mean, the problem is, if there's a problem, is that this team is ready to win right now. This team needs an Alex Smith where he is at this stage of his career to really put him over the top. And can Blake be that by next year? You know what I mean? Like, it took Alex Smith a long time to get here. And plus, once Alex Smith got in the postseason, Alex Smith, pretty damn good.
Yes, he was.
Like 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions to this day are his postseason numbers. His first game ever in the postseason, he lit up the Saints for 299 yards, ran for a touchdown, threw for 3 more, didn't turn it over in that game, and won a shootout against the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, you talked about how it kind of coincided when Jim Harbaugh took over the 49ers, and his career kind of took off, and that's true. But just on the raw numbers, Blake comes out pretty favorably to Alex Smith early in his career. That's not enough. You know, the circumstances are a little bit different. We're at a point in time right now where this is a championship defense, a pretty good running game. What could they be with that level of the latter years, Alex Smith? Can Blake get there that quickly? What does the Jaguar organization feel about that? I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later. A couple of thoughts from Mike Tomlin. Here's one on Blake Bortles. We've been talking about him. What about the mobility and the challenge that presents?
Blake is extremely mobile. And his mobility is a factor in the game, whether it's by design, which they have several things to keep you off balance on first and second down. But he also does a great job of creating his plays, break down on possession downs with his legs.
Hard to argue with that. That was the offense.
Yes, it was last week. Hopefully they get a little bit more than that this week going up against Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin was also asked about the rest of that Jaguars group offensively.
Like I mentioned, they are the number one rushing team in football. Leonard Fournette is the featured guy in terms of that. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. But those other three guys that I just mentioned, I think they collectively have 1,000 as well. And Chris Ivory, T.J. Yeldon, and Blake. So, you know, minimizing their run is more than just focusing on Leonard. Obviously, we got to do a good job there. But we got to do a good job for 60 minutes and in all areas if we want to minimize the ways that they run the ball and the ways that they possess the ball and control the game are in unmanageable third downs because of it.
All right, one more from Mike Tomlin here on the other side of the football, which obviously Jags defense harassed the hell out of Ben Roethlisberger and helped him help force him into 5 interceptions, including 2 pick sixes. Here is Mike Tomlin talking about that side of the football for the Jags.
Their back end is brought together by their 2 Pro Bowl corners who are playing at an extreme high level. They get picks. They take advantage of the opportunities when presented. I think their starting secondary alone, those 4 men, have 18 picks. And then their sub-package linebacker, Tevin Smith, has 3 himself. So the people that play on the back end deliver the splash is exemplified by the interception numbers. The people up front deliver the goods is exemplified by their sack numbers.
All right, there you go. A little bit from Mike Tomlin. And I don't know what it is about him. I just like listening to him. He's the kind of coach I've always thought if circumstances fell right, I'd love to have him coach here in Jacksonville. Or,
yeah.
You know, obviously Pittsburgh is hanging on to him. That's Pittsburgh's MO. They hang on to coaches. They identify good ones. They hang on to them for a long, long time. A lot of people say he's not the best X's and O's guy. To me, he's more like the CEO motivator type, and I think he's done a terrific job.
It's worked.
He's a guy I think that players love to play for in the National Football League. That's been the experience I've had observing the Pittsburgh Steelers and guys that have come and gone up there. So, you know, look, I expect him to say big things about the Jags, much as you expect Doug Marrone to highlight all the good stuff about the Pittsburgh Steelers this week and don't say, hey, you know what, we think we can really exploit the absence of Ryan Shazier. You're not going to hear that a whole lot, nor should you expect to. All right, we'll take a time out here. When we come back, Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will stop by, and we'll see if we can divine any useful information on the Jaguars' injury front. That's coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we will continue along here, get to your feedback on the fan feedback question of the day today, brought to you by First Coast Roofing. Why is Blake Bortles singled out more than any other quarterback who has his ups and downs for personal criticism by fellow NFL players? Talked about that a lot this morning. But now time to check in with Dr. Stephen Lucy of Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, JOI, the official sports medicine providers for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
How are we? Good.
We're great, man. It's great to be back an extra week here.
It's
we
nice.
Keep it going.
I will formally invite you for next week as well, right now, and the week after.
I hope I'm there for at least those weeks.
Yes. All right. Let's get to it. Paul Posluszny, during the game, described as kind of a hip injury. It's more of a core muscle deal. It sounds like what you're telling me that we're dealing with here with Paul.
Yeah, I think that these things, they're in the groin, so they're kind of a lower abdominal groin injury. And I think he's had some of that before. I think he's going to be one of these deals where they're going to take it easy on him early in the week. You know, Paz is going to try to suit it up if he can, but he's going to have to see if he can run, cut, and do the things necessary. Because, again, a 65% Paz is probably not the guy you want out there. You know, you want him up in the 80, 90%.
So and he is one of three guys, along with Telvin Smith with an ankle, Aaron Colvin still dealing with an illness, that are not going to practice today. Let's deal with Telvin quickly first. Is this something that's significant, do you think, or is this something that he's got something, let's hold him out for a day and see if he can maybe get past it and have him as fresh as we can for the Steelers?
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, we didn't see him limp off. You know, they may do some protective things for him early in the week, but I get the sense that on Sunday he'll be ready to go.
All right, so as far as Colvin goes, and of course TJ Yeldon missed the game due to illness as well, though he's not on the report of guys not expected to practice today. You think this is the flu? A lot of times guys say, or people say, I got the flu. I mean, they have a winter cold, right, or a significant cold, and they think they have the flu. But you think this is really influenza potentially going around?
There is two things going around which are both highly contagious right now. One is real influenza, and if you've ever had it, it's a bad deal. You have very high fevers, 103, 104, which most of us hadn't had. As a kid, you get dehydrated, you get muscle aches, and it's a 4 or 5 day deal. That's going around. And also there's a GI thing going around, doesn't last as long, but makes you plenty sick for about 48 hours. So both of these things are out there. You know, when they get involved with these people are in close quarters on football teams in this building, and it starts going around. So I feel pretty good about these two guys.
Because they're working their way through it, right?
Yeah, what we got to worry about that somebody else of significance doesn't come down with it this week. That's the worry, you know, what you never know.
Well, hopefully they'll quarantine them to the degree that they need. You know what, I'm not saying like lock them in a room, but you know what I'm saying. Be smart about it. There's no one else showing up on the injury report, at least, that wouldn't practice today due to illness. So at least that's a good sign so far.
Yeah, it's a very good sign.
All right, then quickly on Antonio Brown, the nature of his injury and your expectations of will he be full strength, close to full strength this weekend?
Well, when this happened, it was pretty strange. You know, you pull a calf, you don't get carted off to the hospital. And then I saw something in the Pittsburgh paper, I think it came out yesterday, that he was back at practice. He'd had some kind of surgery, but he was going to be good to go. And that leads me to believe that he either had a bad contusion and a hematoma, which is a collection of blood in the calf that they had to go in and drain and evacuate or remove the blood, or a muscle injury which bled enough that they had to do that. Either case, so far the reports are very positive out of both the Steeler organization and the press that he's going to be good to go. So unless we hear something else between now and game time, I think we're going to have to assume that we've got to contend with one of the best receivers around.
Oh, I think that's the assumption. Why wouldn't you operate under anything else, right? I mean,
right.
Just assume he's going to be at his best, and we'll see what that matchup looks like. I imagine Jalen Ramsey will get plenty of alone time with Antonio Brown this weekend. Dr. Stephen Lucy with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Doc, keep him healthy. We'll hopefully see you next week.
I hope so.
All right, there he goes. Dr. Stephen Lucy with your weekly injury report from JOI. Tony, we asked today, question today brought to you by First Coast Roofing, why Blake? Why does he seem to get singled out? Why is it more acceptable, seemingly, for players around the league to call him out by name when comparable quarterbacks don't get mentioned nearly as much? What do we get in terms of our sleuths trying to figure that out today?
Here's what we got from Duwalt Doom. It's a tactic because if confident Blake shows up, they know they can't beat us. The thought of losing to him is something they can't handle. Also, Foo Titans. From Irish Jaguar, because he's a trash talker on the field and is meant to be not good but is actually winning, so it pisses people off. From Jarrell, maybe people believe the team wins in spite of him and that he's not the Jags' long-term option, but for me, as long as he's starting, I'm going to say that's my quarterback. And he included the Terrell Owens crying video. From Noel Guy, the perception around the NFL is he's the weak link despite the improvement we have all seen at times, which makes him an easy target. From Brian in California, because the Blake is terrible narrative has been written for a while now, so the media can't go back because they never admit they're wrong. Blake didn't help himself with that on Sunday, but he won, and that's all that matters. Sims is a tool for that 70th ranking BS. From Ryan, players that have played him are petty. Instead of stating facts like he found a way to win against the Bills, it's if he has to throw 30 times against the Steelers, he'll lose. Petty people will always shout your mistakes and whisper your successes. Hashtag Teal Gang from Spence, because he doesn't battle back and retaliate, I believe. Hashtag Tough Skin. Hashtag Bortles Battle. From Andy, he's an easy target. They probably think they can undermine his confidence by doing it. I understand ripping players because they've done something unpopular or because of a dispute, but this just feels like cheap bullying. From Jay, they know he isn't going to respond, and they just want to get a head start on their media career. From Amish Jaguar, because they can't talk bad about us as a team anymore because we're actually good. BB5 is an easy target in that one glaring weakness. Also, we are winning, and most people can't accept we aren't a punching bag anymore. So rather than move on, they use BB5 for their hate. And finally, from Shay, I think teams aren't used to losing to the Jags and the Jags talking so much trash, and they can't call the team trash because the defense obviously isn't. They take out their frustrations on Blake because no one is going to get on them for saying it.
I suppose. I mean, look, there's no one answer that gets to the bottom of everything. There are probably elements of a lot of these things that go into it.
Sure.
I don't know if you read this one. I didn't hear you read this one at Big Will 904, because being on the top 100 NFL list in 2015 due to fantasy football and the love you got for that. I remember us saying at the time, like, pump your brakes a little bit here. Not one of the top 100 players in the league. It's nice to get recognized. There were several Jags getting recognized that year that didn't fit that criteria, I believe, at the time. But I don't know. I mean, is it that? There are plenty of guys that probably pop up in the top 100 list in oddball circumstances. And I don't know. It just feels like there's more personal animosity towards him from players. The media rips plenty of guys. The players don't always pick up on that and single that guy out for pre- and post-game critique and criticism. It's just not done very often.
No, I think it is mostly, though, that it's kind of the if there is a weakness on the team, that would be the one that you'd point to if you're an opponent. And it's a team to let you know, right? Like, they aren't afraid to pound their chest, and they're new to this. They win 10 games for the first time. They're in the playoffs for the first time in a decade. Like, all these things are kind of new, and they're not willing to be quiet about this because they don't care that it's new. It's now, and that's all that matters.
I really need somebody, though, to take my idea and really take it to a new level. They need to remix somehow Blake with Eminem and 8 Mile talking to Papa Doc about it. I've heard it all. There's nothing you could say. Tell me something I don't know about me. And that's the only way they shut him up. Papa Doc had nothing to say because Clarence had very good parents, as I recall. All right, let's welcome in Joe C. with the Midday Chalk.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Get a free cup of queso when you download the Moe's Rockin' Reward app. Order ahead, earn discounts, and get rewarded for every purchase.
Joe Coward, Midday Chalk, how are you, brother?
Doing outstanding. What's happening?
Just a little midweek, and not that it matters in the end. I do think Blake lets a lot of stuff roll off his back. It's funny how vitriolic some of the players have been towards him this year, before and after game. Am I wrong, Joe? Ian Rappaport brought up the example of Matt Schaub. I don't remember players ripping Matt Schaub off. Media does it all the time. That's a different story.
Yeah, I think the two things that jump out to me when, and listening to you guys in particular is that social media definitely changes everything. Whenever we do a comparison, and I think both you and Tony were saying this, that they all of a sudden feel like they've got to jump in and have an opinion, and that's the forum to do it, unfiltered and all that kind of stuff. And then the other part of it, I think a couple of people hit it with their post, that they can't – it was such an easy target, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You could just call the whole team trash for years. Now the defense comes in, and against teams they face, they have dominated them. In fact, they've looked down on them. And so you can't go after the defense, and I think he is the guy that's easiest to attack. They're not used to Jacksonville having success. It's that that one team that all of a sudden comes out of nowhere. It could be a high school football team, basketball, whatever. And someone else has been dominating forever, and all of a sudden this little upstart comes on, and nobody likes them because they're having success against them, whereas before they just kind of tolerated them. And I think that's what it is right now. They can go after him because he's an easy target.
All right, Joe, what do you guys have coming up for the next 3 hours on the Midday Chalk?
Definitely looking at some of the key matchups. And we'll ask fans today, you know, what they think is the key to the victory. Where is it going to come from? But then also, college football. We just closed the book on it, which is, for college football fans, is not easy to do, especially when everyone's looking up and seeing Alabama once again. So we'll dig into some of that with the storylines as we say goodbye. And you guys know, college football fans, you got to wait until August. Sucks.
Nah, you got to wait until signing day. You get a nice little signing day bump. Then you get spring football. There's milestones. Not as many as the NFL has, but there are a few to hang your hat on. But all right, Joe, hey, we'll be listening. Have a great show today, bud.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, there he goes. Joe Cowart with the Midday Chalk crew coming up for the next 3 hours. That'll do it for us. Thanks to Ian Rappaport and Dr. Stephen Lucy, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. And, of course, Dr. Stephen Lucy with Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union will check in with us. And you know what we need to do? We need to go back over our preseason predictions. I meant to do that last week when we had O'Halloran in, see who we all had in the playoffs, winning all the divisions.
Oh, that's going
to
be ugly.
Oh, it will, but I think it has to be done because we do it. And
I know I had the Giants in there.
I'm pretty sure I did as well. I had the Eagles winning the division, though.
I had New England, New York in the Super Bowl.
I had at least I can make the excuse that Aaron Rodgers got hurt because I had, I believe, New England, Green Bay.
Yeah, that'll be pretty.
When it was all said and done. All right, for Tony Smith, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Hey, thanks for listening, as always, to Jaguars today. One day closer. What are we now? 4 days away from Jag Steelers in Pittsburgh. It's going to be another spectacular weekend, and we'll be talking about it with O'Halloran tomorrow right back here on Jaguars Today from 10 to noon on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Don't forget Dandy in the new year. You know they're going to be rolling out some new menu items, but try some of the classics that they've had out there for a long time as well. You know, the straight-up ham and cheese, absolutely delicious. The Maroni's Bologna was a big hit in the months of November and December. I'm a big tuna salad guy when it comes to Dandy. I think they do it an outstanding version of that, and they've got something for everybody, right? And they've got it at a great price, wholesome ingredients. It's going to taste good. It's going to be fresh, going to be delicious. It's just really like all wrapped up exactly the way you want it. For over six decades, they've been delivering great food to your area convenience stores, making it easy on you to figure out what you're going to have when you want food on the go. Dailies, Kangaroo Express, Circle K, you're going to find all the great Dandy options in all of those spots. So stop in, spend 2 minutes on your lunch break instead of a half an hour in the local drive-thru. When it's food on the go you want, Dandy's the name to know. So go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...
Put down your pipe and smoke it.